Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is your favorite hymn, or one of your favorite hymns, because I can never pick just one? Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, of course. Abide with me, me too. Me too. How great thou art. It is well with my soul. Yeah. The King of Love, my shepherd is. Say that one again. Children of the Heavenly Father, yes.
Marley says in the garden.
Marley says in the garden. Ah, oh, yeah. Precious Lord, take my hand. Day by day. All right, now I should have been taking notes on all these so we can sing them all this summer. Yeah, there are so many, and we could go on. There are so many. I could go on. I don't know how many times I say, oh, that's my favorite hymn, right? As we're planning music with the musicians, and that's my favorite hymn too. These hymns can move us and comfort us. They rouse our faith, and they remind us of God's goodness in our lives. This congregation has always valued the role of music in worship, and we know that both singing the beloved hymns and learning and trying the new hymns and songs can touch something deep inside us, and it helps to form our faith. So perhaps the hymn, those parts that are in verse in our reading from Philippians today, are often considered to be one of the earliest hymns to Christ. And perhaps that was one of Paul's favorites. I can imagine him singing as he sits in the Roman prison, drawing on the power of music to comfort him and keep his spirits high. You may remember that Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians from prison. And last week, we heard him express his gratitude for the Philippians as his friends and partners in the gospel. And you might remember a few weeks ago, we had a story from Acts about Paul and Silas singing while in prison. In today's reading, Paul continues to encourage the Philippians in their faith, and in particular, in the way that they live out their faith in the community. He reminds them of what they have received in their faith: encouragement in Christ, consolation from love, sharing in the Spirit, compassion and sympathy in the community. And then he asks them to care for one another, setting the needs of others above their own selfish ambitions. Listen again to how that works. Because of the grace and love, the encouragement and consolation that we already have from God, we are able to be united in community, to be compassionate and humble. Then Paul draws on the words of the hymn, saying, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, being born in human likeness." And Paul urges the Philippians to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And we may begin to wonder if this is really good news after all, because being asked to be like Jesus, well, that's always going to be beyond our reach. And working out our own salvation, all our good Lutheran alarm bells are going off when we hear that one. We can't do anything to save ourselves. God has already done that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And looking closely, I think that's just what Paul is saying too. He begins with what God has done for us, giving up all power and status and becoming human to be in relationship with us. And because of that, the hymn beautifully continues, there will be a time when at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. These words remind me of the revelation of John, the vision that John shares of a future in which God will bring all creation together in the presence of Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God. And all creation will be redeemed, and there is no more weeping or sorrow because all creation is united in Christ. That is the vision that Paul lifts up here, the end to which we are all moving, and God is doing it for us and for all creation. Paul describes the gift of grace that we receive from God so beautifully because Paul has experienced that gift in a radical way in his own life. And Paul knows that such a gift invites a response from us as well. Luther knew that too. Yes, we are saved by grace. But then what? Once we know the great love and grace of Jesus Christ, which gives us our truest identity in God, now and forever, what then? For Luther, as for Paul, the what then means that our faith in Jesus will be lived out in our lives. It is our duty and delight to respond to God's self-giving by giving of ourselves, to respond to God's mercy with mercy and compassion for others, to respond to God's grace by treating one another with grace and kindness, to respond to God's love by taking on a mind of love as Jesus did. In our Bible study on Friday, we agreed that the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases these verses in the Message is really helpful and lovely. He says, "Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God." That energy is God's energy deep within you. God is willing and working in your life at what God will give God the most pleasure. Which brings us back around again to what we've been talking about much of this past year, right? The work of the Holy Spirit within us and among us as a community of faith, which calls us beyond ourselves to lives of service and love. In these last few weeks, we have had two more horrific mass shootings in this country, one a racial hate crime and one again in a school. It's been hard for me to talk about or even to think about what has happened, what is happening over and over and over again in this country. I will admit that I've avoided the news because I just cannot listen to them go over it again and again. It's too much, my friends. On top of everything else we've been through these last 2 years, this is too much. It's like we are watching things falling apart around us, watching people become more fearful, more angry, more selfish and violent. When people act out of a place of fear and anger, that's when the me first mentality kicks in, right? The urge to put our own needs above everyone else's, to bunker in and get our needs met first. It's hard to see all this happening and know how to respond. One person said to me this week, and I guess he's quoting a country music song, so some of you may recognize the words, "My give a damn is busted." That's where fear wants to push us, my friends. Into our own corners, apart from all those other people who it's harder and harder to trust. But we know that that is not what our faith asks of us. Our faith reminds us that the way to push back fear is with the mind that was in Christ Jesus, the mind of love. Our faith calls us to live in unity and sympathy with one another, to offer encouragement and consolation to one another, to widen around us the circle of compassion. Paul is in prison when he writes this letter. He knows that following Jesus isn't easy. He knows something about fighting back against fear. But even more, he knows that God is good, and that is where Paul starts each morning and ends each evening. You've probably heard me say that I preach what I most need to hear, and I wonder if Paul is a bit the same, that he writes in his letters the encouragement that he needs to remind himself. Day after day, as he is beaten and arrested and driven out of some towns, but in other towns, he's welcomed and makes new friends, and he shares the fellowship of the gospel, and he sings with the community of believers. Paul has learned to find joy even in the midst of trauma and suffering. That's why it's so great to be reading in Philippians right now, the book of joy. The book of joy that's joy not because everything is going just great, but joy because God is good all the time, even in the midst of our struggles. This week, I was privileged to spend some time visiting with beloved members of our community. I visited people facing health challenges and other challenges and worries as well. And each time as we spoke, we reminded one another to look for joy in the day-to-day things, in those daily blessings of God, the presence of grown children or the flowers growing in the garden, the sunrise over the mountains, or the kindness of strangers. Driving home from the nursing home visit on Friday, I stopped at Starbucks. And when I got to the window, the young lady handed me my tea and waved away my card, saying, "The car above, in front of you paid for your coffee." It's not a big thing, I know, but it's just such a lovely gesture, a simple attempt to widen the circle of compassion in the world. In the face of all that's happening out there these days, those little kindnesses matter. There is so much that feels incoherent and threatening and even horrifying. And it's okay to feel overwhelmed by these things. My friends, I'll tell you, there are days when I have been simply overwhelmed and staring at the wall. And if you are feeling that way, in the newsletter that just went out, there's the Synod is offering some events to just talk about the trauma that we've experienced and some ways that we can deal with that together. But reading Paul's letters and singing beloved hymns together and lifting up our hopes and fears in prayer, these things remind us that God is good. And they remind us to widen the circle of compassion around us one by one each day. Look around you. We've got a good group of people in here and on our Zoom call, and if each one of us just looks to widen the circle of compassion, to share the mind of love, we can make a difference. And so may we remember, as in the words of the message, to be energetic in our life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. May we remember that that energy is God's energy deep within us, and that God is working in this community and in believers everywhere for the sake of the world God loves. May the same mind be in us as was in Christ Jesus, a mind of love. In the name of Jesus, amen.